Job 23 verse 1 to 24 verse 17. Now, even in announcing the division like that, you will see that I've made a decision. I have stopped at verse 17 of chapter 24 because I think that is the end of Job's discourse at this time. And I think at verse 18 of chapter 24, Zophar takes over and breaks in. But that is a decision which has no textual authority. But quite often in the book of Job, we're not absolutely sure who's speaking. And it's here very clearly. There is a change of discourse between verse 17 and verse 18 in Job 24. And there's no explanation given. Either Job has suddenly changed his mind or it's a different man speaking. Anyway, that's the decision I made. 23:1 to 24:17. Job replies to Eliphaz yet again. This is Job speaking. This is what he says. I still rebel and complain against God. I can't hold back my groaning. Job is honest here. How I wish I knew where I could find God and knew how to go where he is. Job is longing to have this audience with God, to be able to speak and make his case. I would state my case before him. I would argue with him. I'd present all my arguments in my favor. And I would want to listen to him, and I would want to know what he would say and how he would answer me. You see, Job is speaking very audaciously here, but he's speaking out of a heart of faith and confidence in God. The psalmist does this. The men of God speak to God in a very real and powerful way. They don't use flowery language or liturgical non-entities. They really speak. I want to meet God. I want to argue with him. I want to present my case. I want to let him know where I am. Would God use all his strength against me? No, he would listen as I spoke. I am honest. I could reason with God. He's not claiming to be sinless, but he's speaking in real terms because God is real to him. He walks with God. He knows God. Just a moment, he feels that God is not looking into his case. He knows he is, but he wants to argue with God and reason it out. I could reason with God. He would declare me innocent. My rights would be safe once and for all. He's not claiming to be sinless, but he is speaking in reality, in terms of reality. It's not sort of religiosity. This is a real walk with God. Brother and sister, we can be free with God. We dare be free with God. We can open our hearts to him. He knows us through and through. He is sovereign. Job is being open here and frank. I have searched in the east, but God's not there. I've not found him. I can't find him in the west. You know, I know God is at work, verse 8, 9, and 10. I know he knows every step I take, but I can't find him. I can't get to him. Verse 10, yet God knows every step I take. If he tests me, he'll find me pure. Again, I repeat, he's not saying he's sinless. But in this matter, he's not in this position because he is a sinner. And we know he's right here. Job is not here because he has sinned. He's here because God is using him as a righteous man, a godly man, to demonstrate what his mercy and love and work will stand. Verse 11, I follow faithfully the road he chooses and never wander to either side. I always do what God commands. I follow his will and not my own desires. He's speaking honestly here. He's not sinless, but he is a man given up to God and his will and his revelation. However, he knew God's revelation in these ancient days. He knows God never changes. He knows God is sovereign, and no one can oppose him or stop him from doing what he wants to do, verse 13. Verse 14, he will fulfill what he has planned for me. That plan is just one of the many he has. I tremble with fear before him. He knows God is sovereign. He bows before him. He's running his affairs. He knows that, and he's thankful for it. But he feels that God as it were, shut out his case. And there's some evidence for this. God is using Job here at this time as a trial and a test bed, and therefore Job has to suffer. But God has a gracious, sovereign, merciful purpose, a glorious purpose in this work in and through Job. I tremble with fear before him. Almighty God has destroyed my courage. It is God, not the dark, that makes me afraid, even though the darkness has made me blind. He wishes that God would set a time when he will bring release, verse 1 of chapter 24, a day of justice. And then Job speaks about the wicked, how they seem to get away with their sins. And he lists, he pours it out, the corruptions of evil men and their sins and their hurt and the offense they bring into the world, moving boundary stones, robbing, taking goods and property, despising even the poor, the widow, the fatherless. They take away the rights of these people. They snatch away even their victuals, their vital food. They turn them into slaves, and they make them harvest and work in the fields for other men. They drive them out into the wilds and into the cold and the rain and the elements, with no shelter, with no bedclothes, with no place to sleep, no pillows to sleep on. They huddle in the mountains with these poor, because these wicked men ride roughshod over them. They make slaves even of children and infants, and they barter goods to receive slaves. They want goods, and they'll sell slaves to buy what they want, and they trade people like goods. The poor must go out with no clothes to protect them, verse 10. They must go hungry. Even while they're harvesting wheat, they must be thirsty, even as they're harvesting grapes. In the country and in the cities, the wounded are dying and crying out, but God ignores their prayers. The wicked seem to get away with it. This is Psalm 73 again. The godly look at the wicked, and they seem to ride roughshod and immune from trouble. There are men who reject the light. They don't understand it or go where it leads. At dawn, the murderer gets up and goes out to kill the poor, and at night he steals. Adultery and all the rest of it, they're thieving. They fear the light of day, but darkness holds no terror for them. That's verse 17 of chapter 24. As I say, at chapter 24, verse 18, there is a sudden break. The wicked is swept away by floods, and there's no explanation of this. I think it is Zophar speaking now. So where is Job? He trusts God's sovereignty. He can't understand what's going on. He knows God knows. He wishes he could meet with God and present his case to him. He sees the wicked triumphing, but underneath he's still resting in God. My brother and sister, what are you passing through today? What circumstances, what trials, what difficulties? Have you lost your confidence in God? Would you like to cry out to God? Well, then do so earnestly and feelingly. Don't spare your words. Don't couch it in religious language and religiosity. Speak frankly with God. Open your heart to him. God loves you to speak in this way. It shows faith in him. Trust in him. Walk in him. Believe in him. Rest in him. Rely upon him. God is working all things after the counsel of his own will, and he is bringing good out of everything. This is what we learn in Romans 8. We know that God is bringing everything for our good. It will all work for his glory too, as it did in the life of Job. Job opens his heart here. Open your heart, my brother and sister, to God. You have a sympathetic high priest. He too opened his heart to God in the garden and on the cross. Join with him, and he will join with you. Do not be afraid. Cast yourself upon the Lord and open your case to him, and spread out all your needs, wants, fears, doubts, questions, difficulties. Don't pretend with God. Be like Job here, and be faithful to him. Job says, I tremble with fear before him. Rest in him, rely upon him, and praise him that he will bring all things together for good, for your good. for your good, for his praise, for his honour, for his glory. But all things will work together for good for you. Let us rest in the Lord today, my friend. Let us go on, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, remembering that he went all the way for us. He was cut off from his God and Father too, as we've been cut off from the same God and Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he was forsaken, that we might never be forsaken. So let us come to Jesus and come unto his God and Father through our Lord Jesus by the Spirit, and rest in his love. And though we cannot understand, though we cannot trace, though we cannot explain, may we go on by faith today, looking unto Jesus. Amen.